Thank you, and good morning all. What a beautiful morning it is to look out at that beautiful sunshine and enjoy its warmth. Coming from the north, where they are still having snowstorms and cold weather, it's a real treat for us to be here and to enjoy Florida sunshine and warmth. We're going to continue our studies during the morning sessions of this conference on the encouragement the Lord Jesus gives to us, the encouragement he gave to people during his earthly sojourn, and he still gives to us here in our lives here. We noticed on Wednesday morning that five times it's recorded in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus said, be of good cheer, or be of good comfort. It's one word in the Greek, and it's translated two ways in the King James Version. We looked at the first occurrence. We notice that the Lord Jesus encourages us in times of affliction. We're going to read another story from the Gospel. I'd like you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel. We're going to look at Matthew's Gospel in a moment, but this story, like the one we looked at on Sunday morning, is told for us in the four synoptic Gospels, the three synoptic Gospels. That is Matthew and Mark and Luke. And we get the fullest account in Mark's Gospel. So we're going to read that account, and then we're going to read Matthew's condensed version. Let's come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 22 to get the context of our story. Verse 22 says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, at his Jesus' feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now let's look at the condensed version of this story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're just going to read from verse 20 to verse 22. Matthew 9 and verse 20 says, and behold, a woman who was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. The Lord will, I am sure, bless to us the reading of his holy word. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer that he may guide us. Our Father, we would pray with a psalmist, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray that in the word that we have read, we may see fresh beauties in the Lord Jesus, that we may behold him, and that we may be encouraged as we think of him and as we look upon him, I know it's the very need represented in this gathering today. We pray that thou wilt meet our need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For we ask in his holy and fearless name. You ever get annoyed or irritated or frustrated? I'm afraid I have to confess that sometimes I do. Sometimes when you look at the preacher on the platform, you may not think they would ever get upset or annoyed, but it happens even to preachers. One of the things that annoys me or irritates me is when I'm interrupted in doing something important, something intricate. The phone rings. Or something has to happen, I have to give up what I'm doing and lose the train of my thought. Or when I sat down for a little rest, and I'm immediately interrupted. Well, I think many of us are interrupted in these sort of situations, and it brings annoyance to us. The Lord Jesus had frequent interruptions during his earthly sojourn. On one occasion, for instance, he and his disciples had a very busy spell of activity. They'd had even time to eat. And they had a very sad moment of sorrow when John the Baptist was killed, was murdered. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, recognizing that they needed a break and needed a rest, he said, come ye apart and rest a while. And so he left the crowd and walked along the coast, and he found a place that was quiet. But you know, the other people got to him just as soon as he got there, and he was interrupted. Was he annoyed? Not in the slightest. He wasn't upset. He welcomed the crowd. He healed their sick. And he fed the hungry, the thousands of them. He wasn't upset or annoyed. He might well have been. I would have been. But he wasn't. In the story that we have read, there was another interruption. The Lord Jesus had just been spoken to by a man who had a daughter who was desperately ill. She was terminally ill. She was on the point of death. And this man, Jairus, said, come quickly. My daughter is dying. She's just at the point of death. And the Lord immediately said, we'll go. And he went. And then it happened. As they went to see Jairus' daughter, there was the interruption. It was a woman who had maybe never met the Lord Jesus before. We don't know her name, but she had a problem. And she came through the crowd that day, in spite of her problem, and she touched the hem of his garment. It was an interruption. Was the Lord upset or annoyed? Not in the slightest. He provided what that woman needed, and he gave her encouragement and help and strength. What an example the Lord is to all of us in times of interruption that we would be upset at and annoyed about. He, with his calm, peaceful frame of mind, was able to help those who needed that. You notice the words he said to this woman. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. You see, this woman needed encouragement. She had a long time of trouble, and she needed encouragement. What was the cause of her discouragement? Why was she down? Why did she need this encouragement? Well, I think there were a number of reasons why she needed encouragement. And I'm sure as we think of these reasons, you and I will fit into one of them at least, maybe into more than one. Let's think of some of the things that caused her discouragement. First of all, there was her affliction. We saw on Sunday morning about the paralyzed man who was afflicted with a terrible paralysis. Here was a woman. The Lord Jesus was gracious to women. He didn't choose women disciples, but he did treat women differently from the custom of his day. He honored women. He never spoke disparagingly or disrespectfully of women. He was unusually kind and gracious to them, which was contrary to the habits and manners of the people around him at that time. He looked upon women with respect. Even immoral women, he respectfully treated them. Think of the woman at the well. Think of the woman who was a sinner who was brought to him in John chapter 8. He didn't do what the other people would have done to them. He treated them kindly and graciously. And he did this woman. This woman had an affliction. We don't know how long the affliction of the paralyzed man we were thinking about on Sunday had lasted.
We don't know whether it was acute or chronic, but we do know about this woman. She had a problem for 12 long years. 12 long years. And during these 12 long years, she had been hemorrhaging. She had been losing blood. Poor woman. She was in a state of affliction. And the Lord knew about her. The Lord knew all about her situation and her condition for 12 long years of sadness. He had just met a man who had 12 years of gladness and now became sad. His name was Jairus, and his daughter had brought him gladness for 12 years, and now she was dying and going to die. And this woman had 12 years of sadness, and now there was gladness about to come to her because she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a terrible affliction. Do you know the Lord is still the same today? Oh, I know he doesn't heal all of our diseases as we would like sometimes, but he comes to us and gives us encouragement in every condition. And if the disease is the result of sin, then we confess our sin. And he is willing and able and faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in our affliction. The person to turn to is the Lord Jesus. But that wasn't the only problem this woman had. Not only did she have a disease that afflicted her, but she was characterized by debilitation. She had a hemorrhage, a bleeding disease. Day after day it went on. Month after month the same problem. Nothing could seem to be done for this problem. And you know as well as I do, I'm sure, that chronic blood loss results in loss of vitality. And energy and strength. Every day this woman would wake up feeling weaker than the day before. She was no better. She grew worse all the time. This disease had deprived her of her strength and her energy. She was debilitated. As we get older, some things like that do happen. We haven't the strength that we used to have when we were younger. And we would like to do a great many things, but we can't do them. We are weak. And unable to do what we would like to do. And sometimes that can be really frustrating and upsetting. But you know, the Lord Jesus is able to help us in all our weakness. The Apostle Paul experienced this. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he spoke about the thorn in the flesh. And he asked three times that the Lord would take it away. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, whether it was an illness that he had got, or whether it was blindness, or what it was. But it was a distressing problem, and he asked the Lord three times to take it away. You remember what the Lord said? He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And in our weakness, the Lord Jesus is the one to whom to turn. And he is able to give us strength and grace in our weakness. Just as he gave this woman strength. We may not heal our disease, our physical disease, the same as she was healed, but he is able to give us the grace and the strength to sustain the trial. But there was a third problem this lady had. Not only did she have affliction and debilitation, but she had ostracization. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 15, we are told about the situation that she had and what had to happen in that condition. An Israelite with this malady was segregated as long as it lasted. Even if it lasted 12 long years, that Israelite was segregated from the community. And more than that, if it was healed, they were still to be segregated for another week until it was absolutely sure it was healed. For another week, and then they had to bring a sin offering and a burnt offering. Well, this woman had had this for 12 years. No doubt she was divorced from her husband, ostracized from society, segregated from her friends and companions and neighbors, and she needed encouragement. Sometimes older people like that, and older people with disease, have experiences like that. Well, they may not be segregated because of the disease they have, but they may be put into a home and forgotten about. I've had many people tell me that story. They used to be visited by people whom they knew, their friends, their Christian companions, but one by one they dropped off coming, and they felt alone in the situation where they were. They had no longer the friends they used to have, they were almost equivalent to this woman. They were ostracized. But the Lord Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And if we have no other friends on earth, we can be sure that he is always near. He's always there in every circumstance, in every trial, and in condition of ostracization. The Lord Jesus is always available. Three conditions she had, but there were still more. Not only did she suffer from affliction and debilitation and ostracization, she must have suffered from frustration. Luke tells us that she couldn't be healed by anybody. Mark goes into more detail, and he tells us, as we read together, he tells us rather bluntly, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many physicians, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She had had many doctors come to visit her, or she had gone to see many doctors, but instead of improving, she got worse day by day. It was obviously a condition that at that time had no cure. And, believe it or not, there are many conditions in this advanced age in which we live that have no known cure, as you are aware. And this woman had one of these conditions. At that time, there was no cure, at least none that was known to the doctors that she had met. Every time a new doctor who would come to town, she would go along and see him, knock on the door, or go into his office. He could do no better than the ones before. How frustrating that is, to know that instead of getting better by the medication that a person is receiving, they're getting worse. You know, there are some people like that today. There's no known cure, and instead of getting better, they're getting worse. That's a frustrating situation, isn't it? And yet the Lord is able to help us even in that situation. He's the one who is by our side day by day. When we know him and trust him as our Savior, we know that he is always there and ready to help us and to guide us and bless us. But there was one other condition that this woman had. She had affliction. She had debilitation. She had ostracization. She had frustration. There was one other. There was destitution. We are told by Luke that she spent all her livelihood on physicians. She had been to many physicians. Down the years, for 12 long years she had suffered, and now she was left penniless. She was destitute. She spent all her living on many physicians. These numerous medical consultations that she had exhausted all her resources, and she was left with nothing. She obviously had no health insurance, and there was no way to pay her medical bills. And now she was left with nothing. And she met the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. When we meet him, we meet one who supplies our needs. If we have Jesus, we have everything. If we have everything but Jesus, we have nothing. But when we have him in our lives, we have everything. And that's what this woman discovered as she met the Lord. Well, these were her problems. These were her problems. And the Lord came to her, and he said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has saved thee." What a wonderful word of encouragement that was, as the Lord spoke to her. Let's ask ourselves, what was the cause of her healing? The cause of her healing. Well, this nameless woman made her way through the crowd in spite of her weakness, and she touched Jesus' garment, and she was instantly cured. The first words, according to Mark and Luke, that Jesus spoke were, "Who touched me?" Don't imagine that these were words of ignorance, that the Lord was asking for information. Think of the very first question that God asked in the Garden of Eden to Adam and to Eve. To Eve, he said, "What have you done?" To Adam, he said, "Where art thou?" Do you think God asked these questions because he was ignorant? Not at all. God knew exactly what they had done. God knew exactly where they were. He knew all about them. He asked them so that they might come and confess exactly what had happened. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly where this woman stood and what she had done. And he asked that question so that she might confess. And the first cause of her healing was his omnipotence. As we saw the paralyzed man, that was the cause of his healing. He was healed because of the power of the Lord Jesus, the great Savior, who is able to do far more for us than ever we can do for ourselves. The power of divine healing. And the Lord Jesus has done for us that spiritually. He has done for us the healing of our spiritual condition. The disease of sin, of which this disease that the woman had was a picture. The Lord Jesus has done that. And he has done that not only because of his omnipotence, but because of his grace and his death on Calvary's cross. He has saved us from our disease. And so there was the divine power that brought about our healing, but there was something else. In every case, there was something else. As in the case of the paralyzed man, Jesus saw their faith. So he said about this woman, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Your faith hath saved thee." Other people probably didn't realize that faith that she had, except that they knew she had come to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus looked into her heart, and he knows, and he knew perfectly well that this woman had exercised faith. And we can see evidence of that faith. We can see evidence of that faith, first of all, in her actions. Oh, she had been to many physicians. But she pressed through that crowd. In her weakness, it must have been difficult for her to do that, don't you think? To press through the crowd that was gathered around the Lord Jesus to get through one and other, and they were hustling and bustling to get closer to them. But she made her way through that crowd, and her weakness, she came to the Lord Jesus. But it's not only the evidence of her actions, but the evidence of her thought. We are told what she was thinking while she pressed through the crowd. Many people might have thought, well, here's another doctor, I'll try this other one. No, she didn't think that at all. She said, "If I may but touch his garment, I'll be made whole." She was absolutely sure that here was the one and the only one who could meet her in her need. We know that he has met our eternal need. We know that he has met our spiritual need when we trusted him as our Savior and Lord. He met our eternal need and satisfied it. But he's able to meet our temporal need as well. And as we commit ourselves to him and trust him, by faith, put our trust in the Lord Jesus, and we see that he is able to meet our physical needs as well, day by day. He's the loving, living Savior who is concerned with every one of us in whatever situation we are, whether we're afflicted or debilitated or frustrated or ostracized or destitute. The Lord Jesus is able to come to us and meet us where we are in our need. This woman said, "If I may but touch his garment, I will be healed." And she came and she touched the hem or the fringe of his garment. We know about that from the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, chapter 15. We read that the garments were to be made throughout all their generations with fringes. A blue ribbon or tassel had to be attached to the garment. And that garment, that tassel, that fringe, was a perpetual reminder to the one who wore it and to those who watched it, of the commandment of God and of the importance of being obedient to that command. Many people, of course, would use these tassels and they wouldn't know what they were for. They wouldn't think anything of the commandment of God. But perhaps this woman knew something about the Lord Jesus. Not only his power to heal, but his obedience to the commandment of God. And she would know that here was a person who wore that fringe in his garment because he recognized God's command, and he was the one person who ever lived in this world who was completely and totally obedient to the commandment of the Lord. He wore that garment with a purpose and with an objective. He was proclaiming God's commandment and the essential fact of being obedient to the command of God. And so she came and she touched the hem of his garment. The old hymn says, "She only touched the hem of his garment, as to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around her, and straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee." Well, what happened? What happened? I want to suggest to you two things that happened. The first thing that happened was a complete cure. Immediately, we are told, her bleeding stopped. Her hemorrhage ceased. The flow of her blood completely stopped. The cure was immediate, and it was permanent. It went forever. The cure of our sinful condition, of which this is a picture, is also a permanent cure. It can never be interrupted. Last year, when I was here, I spoke on the eternal security of every Christian. The moment we come to the Lord Jesus and put our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, that very moment we are saved. And that very moment we are saved not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. That security that we have been given is guaranteed by the Word of God, and guaranteed by the Son of God, and guaranteed by the Spirit of God. God has guaranteed that security. And every one of us can say, I am saved, and I am saved forever. This woman was completely cured. There was no half measures about it. She was absolutely made well. That's what the Lord Jesus can do. And He has done for us in our spiritual life. He has completely cured them. But there was a second thing that happened. Not only was there a complete cure, but secondly, there was a candid confession. A candid confession. We are told that she declared unto Him before all the people how she had, for what cause she had touched Him, and how she was healed immediately. That's exactly what she said. Oh, she was a little timorous at first. And most of us are a little timorous at times about telling what the Lord has done for us. We shouldn't be. Sometimes when we were saved initially, we weren't timorous. We wanted everybody to know at that time. But as years go by, we become a little timorous about our confession. We are not so anxious to tell people what the Lord has done for our soul. This woman told plainly what the Lord had done for us. Honest confession is good for the soul. And it's good for our spiritual life to tell others what the Lord has done for us. For what He has done for us, He can do for others. And we may be the means of leading others to the Lord Jesus. How do you think this woman knew about the Lord Jesus and what He could do? I'm sure she knew from the words of others who had come and been healed. She said, I'm going to do the same. I believe He can do the same for me. And we have a responsibility to tell others what Christ has done for us. Because if He has done it for us, He can do it for our friends. He can do it for our neighbors. He can do it for our contacts. He can do it for our families. The Lord Jesus is able to do for them exactly what He has done for us. So let's be careful to tell others what He has done for us. And then let's look at the assurance that the Lord Jesus gave to this woman. The end of the story is about His assurance. He says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And in another gospel, in Luke's gospel, we are told that He added, go in peace, go in peace. What a wonderful blessing that is when we trust Christ as our Savior. There is a peace comes into our heart, a peace that the world can't give and a peace that it can't take away. First of all, we are justified by faith and have peace with God. But next, we have the peace of God within our hearts as we come to Him day by day. And as we, in prayer and intercession with thanksgiving, make our requests known to Him, the peace of God will garrison and keep our hearts. And thirdly, we have the God of peace with us day by day. When we know that peace within, the God of peace is our daily companion. And so we too can go in peace. Well, there may not have been all the problems solved in this woman. Many people might still ostracize and say, that's the woman that had that disease for so many years. I don't believe she's healed. And they might still ostracize her. She might still be divorced from her husband, wherever he was. She may still have had that problem. When we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, not all the problems disappear instantaneously and immediately. We sometimes are still to face some of the old problems. But thank God. Although there may be problems outside, there can be peace inside as we know the Lord of peace dwelling within us. And He says to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we can enjoy that peace that is deeper and purer and clearer than anything the world can give. What a wonderful provision the Lord made for us. Again, the songwriter has said, he turned with daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, and peace that passeth all understanding with gladness filled her soul. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. Now, what do we conclude about this story? In conclusion, there's something we have to say, and you may say, well, why did the woman suffer this in the first instance? Well, you may not have said about that about the woman because you knew she had it, but you may be saying that about yourself. Why does the Lord allow this problem, all these problems, in my life? Why does he allow the problem of sickness at all? Why does he allow the problem of sadness? Why does he allow these trials that we pass through? Well, there are many reasons the Lord has. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven before we know the most of them. But there are some things that we can say this side of heaven. One reason he allows the problem is that we might come to him. There's another hymn writer that has written, if I didn't have any problem, I wouldn't know he could solve them. And the fact that he allows the problem and that we're able to trust him to solve them gives us confidence to come to him with any other problem. And it gives us confidence to tell others about the problem solver. So the Lord Jesus has solved your problem in the past. Trust him for the problems of the future. And tell others what he has done for you so that you may be a blessing to them and they may come to know him too. May the Lord bless you. May you have a good day as you think of him today. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee for this lovely story from thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who is the great physician. We thank thee for every one of us here who has experienced his saving touch and known his power to heal the disease of sin. If there is anyone here who has never experienced that power in their lives, we pray that today they may come to him, confessing their sin, repenting of sin, and trusting him as Savior and Lord. And we pray that all of us, day by day, may seek his blessing, his comfort, and his peace. Grant that we may experience that today in all that we do. We thank thee for one another. Above all, we thank thee for the Lord to whom we have come and pray that he may bless us and guide us through the day, for we ask it in his holy and precious name. Amen.